Friends, would you stand for the reading of Scripture today? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Maggie's going to read for us today.
So on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks
be to God. You may be seated. And as you are, let's pray. What a joyous day today is. A day that you declare victory over sin and death. A day that we have celebrated for over 2,000 years. And each year are reminded of your goodness, of your love, and of your grace. So God, meet us here again today. Meet us in the reading of Scripture. Meet us in the transformation of our hearts and our lives. Meet us. Bring us your presence, because any time that we are in the presence of the Most High, we cannot help but leave transformed. We love you, God. We praise you and we thank you for this time together to celebrate and to praise your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, come on, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Have you ever heard news that literally put you in shock? Like news that came out of the blue, out of nowhere, that you were like, no way that could actually be true. I mean, I can't believe that that would actually happen. News that makes you immediately pick up your phone and check to see if it's actually reality. Like when Taylor Swift got engaged to Travis Kelce, right? Changed our worlds forever. I have to pick on Maggie because she's a major Swiftie and we're in the office together a lot. When we were kids and we got news like that and we were all together, something that our friends had seen somewhere in the neighborhood and they came running to us to tell us that something had happened and that they found something, we would all instantly take off running. And we would say, as we take off running, last one there is a... You got it. You got it. This is where the disciples were in that moment. When the women came back early from the tomb, they were supposed to be gone for hours. But they came back in only minutes, maybe an hour or less. The disciples were shocked to see them in the door. Luke says it so nonchalantly. In verse 9, he says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all the things to the 11 and all of the others. You know that scene was not so chill. You know that scene came with them bursting through the door, hands on knees, panting because they had run all the way back from the tomb because they couldn't believe what they had just heard. You know that as they burst through the door to get this news out through belabored breath, that the disciples were in utter shock. You know that we looking back on that moment, we see their response as completely misaligned from the reality of what had just happened. They sat with unbelief and said, "No way." What should have happened is that they should be worshiping and dancing and celebrating because the Savior, their teacher, had just died and resurrected from the dead, something that doesn't just happen. They should be going bananas, but they are sat with unbelief, disbelieving the women. Now, I'm not here to say that women aren't trustworthy. I'm not here to say that women are liars. That would be a very dumb thing for me to say. Right, Cooper? Got to teach the men in our house. This is not a good thing to say to the women in your lives. What I'm trying to say is that this really was nonsense. It was absolutely crazy that the women would speak of a resurrected Jesus, that the tomb was empty. So Peter, in his boldness, he gets up and he runs to the tomb. John's gospel says that John outran Peter. It's great that John wrote his own gospel and said that he was faster than Peter getting to the tomb. But in Luke's gospel, Peter is the only one who stands up and runs to the tomb and even goes and pursues the tomb. In Luke's gospel, the one who is in unbelief sought to get closer to the situation to investigate. Peter approaches the good news of the gospel with a sense of curiosity, sense of wonder. Today, church, I want to ask you, how have you approached the good news of the gospel? I believe that there are three postures that we typically take when we are confronted with the risen Christ, with the good news of the gospel that he is alive. First, we doubt the source, and we sit in disbelief. Two, we blindly believe from a safe and cautious distance. And three, we pursue with wonder and curiosity. One and three are found right here in the text, in the characters of the text. Number two, though, is, I believe, the primary response in the American church. Let's lean in. Number one, I want to first speak to the skeptic in the room. This is the person in the room that maybe was invited here but doesn't really want to be here this morning. Thank you for at least taking the first step in obedience. This is the person who maybe isn't interested in knowing or understanding this because, let's be real, it all sounds kind of crazy. I mean, these claims are pretty wild. When we read scripture, it feels so out of touch with the reality that we see in the world today. I don't see people being healed from incurable diseases on a regular basis. I don't see demons being cast out or people being swallowed by whales and living inside and being thrown up onto a shore somewhere. I sure don't see people who are dead come back to life. Why would I believe or trust in some ancient text to lead and guide my life? My call to you today, my ask, is that instead of staying in the house in unbelief, I want to encourage you to get up and begin the journey of discovery. Not so that it might convert you to something other than what you believe now, but there is beauty in a search, in a journey towards truth. You find out a lot about yourself in that journey. But when you sit at home in disbelief, when you intentionally avoid investigating, investigation that might challenge your preconceived doubts and disbelief, it's easy to build your case for the why not when there is no search for truth. This kind of posture in life in general is dangerous. If we approach all of life in that way, this is the beginning of tribalism. This leads to separation and division in our world. It leads to disdain of the other. It leads to broad stroke stereotypes that we paste on the world around us. But if we choose to investigate, if we choose to be curious, if we choose to wonder, then it keeps us from digging our heels in, assured of the truth based on what we know, even though we have not really even seen reality. For the skeptic, I just ask that you take one step in discovery. For the blind believer, the person who hears the good news of the gospel and receives it with excitement, even with praise, even with alleluia, you take other people's word for it, but you are content to live life with the knowledge of this good news without ever experiencing it for yourself. Friends, good news is supposed to do something that moves you. When Jesus came to begin his ministry, he said, "I am here to proclaim the good news to the poor, sight to the blind," something that is supposed to move you from one state to the next, freedom from the captive. Believe it or not, this person, the blind believer, is equally as harmful as the first. Because this good news to this person makes no real difference in our lives. Is it actually good news if it doesn't change anything? The call of Christ to the early disciples is, come and see for yourself. It is to come and follow after me. You can't follow after me from a distance. It must be right behind me. The namesake of the Israelite people literally means one who wrestles with God or one who struggles with God. These are all impossible without proximity to God. Without curiosity, without investigation, this blind believer observes from afar and celebrates even when others who are used by God share a bold testimony of God's work in their lives. It makes us smile. It makes us feel good. but the one who lives in wonder. The one who lives in pursuit, in proximity. The one who investigates, puts themselves in the game and says, God, show me your living presence right here and right now in the world around me. A majority of those who claim Christianity, according to studies in America, find themselves in this category. They desire salvation that God gives, but they don't actually want God. Because when we investigate God, we might find something that actually changes us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that these are the spiritually shallow and describes their faith or their belief as unstable. He says that they are tossed to and fro by the winds of every doctrine, every shifting ideology, and the deception of the world. Friends, the anchor of our faith, that which keeps us from being tossed to and fro, is the blood of the Lamb that we celebrated on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. It is the empty tomb that we celebrate today. It is the truth of the Word of God that we claim as Global Methodists in scriptural holiness, pursuing after God through scriptural holiness. It is the power of personal testimony and firsthand experiences with the living God. These are our anchors in our faith that hold us strong, even though the winds might blow. Church, would we yearn to see the empty tomb firsthand? This is Peter. In the midst of his disbelief, he gets up and he runs. Though he can't see it with his own eyes, though he can't comprehend the thing that has just happened, he gets up from his place and he runs. With excitement, with urgency, with a desire to discover and investigate, he runs. And when he gets there, he doesn't just look from the outside. He takes a step into the tomb, another step even deeper to grab the garments and to examine them, to see it firsthand, to know and smell it and know that this is where my Savior was, but no longer is. Church, the resurrection of Jesus is not primarily a doctrine to be defended. It's not a fact to be filed away back in the back of our file cabinet and smile at it every once in a while when we pull it out every year. It is a living reality that we must explore every single day. We may not fully understand it at first. We may not even fully understand it the 50th time that we examine it. But friends, the beauty of it is that understanding is not the goal. It's the exploration. It is the journey of walking alongside Jesus. So wherever you are today, on this Easter Sunday of 2026. If you're the skeptic in disbelief this morning, begin honestly exploring. Engage in dialogue with those who have been seeking for years. You might find that you're not so far off as you begin the search for truth. For the believer that smiles at the resurrection, but you keep a safe distance from Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit. Today, would you drop an anchor of discovery as you extend yourself, your faith, beyond your own capacity and ask God to meet you in real and profound ways? Or maybe you're the one who is living in wonder and you've been on a journey of discovery. And you're seeing new things around every corner. As you grow in your faith and understand him more and more, even understand the more and more that you don't know as you get closer to him. I want to encourage you, no matter how far along in that journey, you are right where God desires for you to be. Take the next step. And maybe even invite somebody along that journey with you. I'll close with this. Maximus the Confessor. What a great name, right? Maximus the Confessor was a Byzantine monk in the 6th century. He's not very known in Western Christianity, but in Eastern Christianity, he is known as a theological giant. Maximus the Confessor eventually had his right hand and his tongue cut out for challenging the politically driven theology of the time. He was a man who was always seeking truth. He was never settled with blind belief. He said this before he got his tongue cut out. He said, God loves nothing more than to be investigated by humans. God loves nothing more than to be investigated by humans. Friends, may your Easter joy be fueled by wonder. May your hope be driven by expectation. And may your journey be surrounded by a community of faith seeking together in humility. Friends, believe it or not, he is risen. Let's run and see. Last one, there's a rotten egg. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let's pray.